Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
This is Glenn the Geek, and I guess we can just hope that somebody is hearing us live this morning. I am from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning, hopefully, on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, July 28th, 2011, episode 194, sponsored today by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, Glenn, I know that yesterday you had a really bad day. And I also yesterday had a really bad day, and that day is continuing to carry over onto today. And do you remember last week when I asked you for a raise?
No, I don't remember that. Can you remind me?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you again because I'm going to go ahead and need that raise yet again because this morning, let me just back up and just. Yesterday was a day of personal angst with certain relationships in my life. Don't need to go into it, but it's been a little stressful. And so last night, when I went to bring the horses up, Jet, my thoroughbred, who I just competed and everything, had a cut from about the start of his flank all the way back almost to his hip. It's about, a foot long. And it's a scrape, and it was deep enough to where, almost for a second, I thought he was going to have stitches. I brought him up. I ended up having to sedate him because, of course, you couldn't touch it with the 10-foot pole or he would kill you. So I get that all done. I scrub it. I clean it. I cover it in antibiotic cream, and then I cover it in SWAT. And I've got the – looks like a pink warhorse right now. he's from the Apache Nation because he's got the SWAT covering all these little nicks and scrapes he had. No idea what to get into. They won't tell you. As I'm taking care of his cut, I realize that I hear the dogs in a big scuffle. So I run to the front of the house, and a giant chow mix that runs loose in our neighborhood all the time has come onto my property, and Boomer has decided that that's not acceptable and has gotten a fight with this said dog.
You need to teach Boomer about size difference and meanness difference. Really do.
I know. It's like a Mongol
Boomer,
chow.
Chows are off limits. You let the chow wander through the yard and out the other side.
It's like the front end of a chow and the back end of a lab. Okay, this dog makes no sense whatsoever, but I see him all the time, and I've never been able to get close enough to, read his tags and find out where he actually lives. But I think he lives, four houses down. And again, four houses down, everybody has these big kind of horse properties. So four houses down is quite a ways. So they let this dog run wild all the time. Well, I didn't think anything of it. Boomer looked fine. He ran back in. This morning, I wake up and realize that I'm like, Boomer, why do you stink? You stink. And then I realize he's rubbing his ear. I look on the inside, and his ear is ripped in half on the inside of his ear. There is cartilage right now as he's laying underneath my feet. Cartilage is flapping out of this wound that was given to him by the Mongol dog.
Happy breakfast, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So just so you know, I will be again going to the emergency. Well, I'm going to try to get just a regular appointment with a regular vet, so it won't be at least $150 walking in the door. However, Chad did just give me his credit card, and I'm going to go ahead and take care of that this morning.
Oh, yeah, because Boomer is his dog.
Exactly. And I would also like to let you know that immediately upon waking up, Zenyatta peed on the floor and then jumped up on the table and ate Chad's breakfast cereal. So all the dogs are causing problems right now. My horse is wounded. My dogs need the vet. I'm going to shoot the other one. Oh, my God. This day is starting out like yesterday, and I just don't know if I can take another day of this. I just don't know.
All right, Jennifer, what's on today's show?
Oh, please. Listen, you were venting to me about your bad day, so I want to just give everybody a taste.
I'm going to be talking about it here in a minute, but we'll find out what's on today's show first.
On today's horseshow.com Thursday edition, in case you didn't know.
Jamie gets a raise.
It's a wine fest. Not the kind with stemmed glasses and discussions about the Napa Valley, but the kind where your life sucks right now and you want the whole world to know about it. And keeping with the theme of what state of disrepair is your life in theme, Dr. Oakley will be here again. She's the love doctor who comes on regularly, and she will be talking about girls who can't say no. This does apply to the fellows out there, but the quote from Oklahoma was just too cute to pass up. And just to make extra sure that not a one of us finishes out the show with a single molecule of joy in our hearts, Black Beauty will surely be experiencing some sort of life-threatening, human-precipitated disaster. Have a nice day.
That was pretty funny. I was wondering where she would go with that. That was pretty good.
I should just dig up a bad step.
Today's Daily Winnie of mine goes out to Emily Hoff, who wrote on our page yesterday, Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. I'm behind on my hit 'em listening since I dropped my laptop on cement. Well, there's another person who had a bad day. That's never good for your laptop. Never good. And you know what happens when you drop your computer, your laptop like that? It never lands flat where it might have a chance of surviving. It always lands on the corner, you know, and busts a thing. Cracks the screen, the whole thing. I sneak in some listening at work. I hope to get out to Mackinac Island this fall. I'll be there early, mid-September for a wedding. It would be cool if we to cross paths. Well, that is the time that we were possibly looking at going up there, so we just might cross paths with you, Emily, and we'll keep in touch, and maybe we'll have a drink on Mackinac Island together, or we can take a ride together on a carriage.
Well, I have two, and because we're going to have to follow up with Karen Heiser. Remember yesterday I told you was the roundup on Chincoteague Island?
She
says she's actually on vacation there for the pony pinning, and she said she will post updates next Monday. However, she says, wish me luck at the pony auction tomorrow. So I guess Karen is up there buying ponies or trying to buy auctioned off ponies. So good luck to you, Karen. I hope you get exactly what you want, and I cannot wait to hear about it. It's going to be so great.
How cool is that one of our listeners is there? That's really cool.
I know. It's awesome. And my final Daily Winnie. Well, Glenn, somebody had a really good day yesterday. And because I was just complaining and whining and being, you know, just a wuss, I would like to tell that person who had a really good day that I am your new best friend, and just call me. Because one better, and they're not naming who it is, at Del Mar, the racetrack in California yesterday, cashed in a pick six bet. Now, what the pick six is you pick six winners. Out of six races, and it's really difficult to do. This person,
that's like almost impossible to do.
Yeah, it makes you think it's crooked. You know what I mean? Like if you know exactly what that is. So there were 85 tickets sold that won five out of the six winners, and there was only one person that won six out of the six winners. He picked three cuties: Hey Muldaney, Kay Rapa, Pedal to the Metal, Calamonico, January Miss, okay? Only Three Cuties was a favorite. The pick six pool yesterday paid $1,109,920.80. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Imagine you're right next to the ocean. It's beautiful, sunny, perfect weather, California. You're at the racetrack at Del Mar, and you just won over $1 million stinking dollars. I have a hard time getting a $2 win ticket. And I'll even bet that $2 win ticket that's the favorite across the board, and I'll win 40 cents, and it's like a celebration. So
yesterday, if you had played anything at a racetrack, you would have bet on number four, let's say. Number four would have died two steps out of the gate.
I know.
Right there.
I know.
Heart attack.
And that's why I didn't do it, because I didn't want to jinx anybody.
Well, you know, I think this guy deserves this. There you go.
Or a girl. It could have been a woman. We don't know.
Yeah, sure. Well, congratulations. Wow, you don't hear about that too often. You know, I have won the trifecta twice in my life. And, you know, when you play a trifecta, you very seldom win. And when you win, you're so excited you're about to burst. And both times it paid $40.
Oh, what? $40 for a trifecta?
$40.
You picked every favorite.
Yeah, it was like the favorites. And then I always box them, so it doesn't pay as much. So I have never had the trifecta that, you know, pays $5,000. I never get that one. It's only the $40 one.
I think I bet a trifecta in college, and I won like $65, which to me was like $1 million. So when you're in college.
Especially when you tell everybody you're with, if I win this trifecta, I'm going to take everybody out to dinner. And then you win $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, we're going to McDonald's. Taco Bell for everyone. Oh,
hey,
yes.
We want to remind everybody about Really Bad Ads tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. Thank God for everybody. By the way, we're giving away a $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collection. So get your Really Bad Ads in. Those are the stinker ads, the ones that are about horses or chickens or ducks or cats, that are just poorly written, they don't have any punctuation, they don't know how to spell, or they're just saying things that are just off the wall. You know, the idea with an ad you post on Craigslist or on Dream Horse or one of those websites is to sell the product. And some of these you got to wonder. So
yeah, and Glenn, I've really been paying a lot of extra special attention because another one of my clients, my students, wants to buy a horse. So we are back to hitting the ads. We are
so
back
Jamie's
to
gonna have some submissions.
Yeah, and this weekend, Saturday, we're actually gonna go look at two. So this should be interesting because one of the horses we're going to look at in the ad, and this is where we're gonna test the theory of really bad ads. And just to see how accurate these ads are, we are going to ride a horse, a warm blood. It's like 15-year-old warm blood that currently stands at 18.2.
Oh!
What? 18.2 for a warm blood. Okay, so what I want to do is I'm going to test the theory.
Let me get a visual of that. Okay, so we had a Percheron that was 18.2 and weighed about a ton. And you're about 5'3". So I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, I think. So you're not going to need a mounting block. You're going to need a freaking stepladder.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to put that in the back of the truck. Just bring a ladder. I'm going to see if I can find the picture of the 18.2 hand horse. Actually, I don't have one. They didn't have one posted because on Dream Horse, you cannot post pictures,
yeah,
and then it's free.
Pay or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I did see a picture. They sent it to my student, and she is they posted a picture just to really bring it home with their daughter standing next to the horse. So, of course, you know, you can barely see the child up above the horse's knee. So, of course, it looks huge. So I'm going to test it out. We'll see what actually happens an 18.2 hand warm blood.
Have you changed and you're now instructing in log pulling or – you know, driving stagecoaches? What is it that they want to do with this horse?
Well, we're hoping that maybe potentially it's a dressage prospect. So hopefully it knows a little bit already, but hopefully it's way trained and gentle at 18.2. I don't know, though. We'll see. Apparently they didn't have time for it. They have a younger, smaller show horse that they're focusing their energy on.
You know, the other problem we found out when we owned our draft horses is the 18-2 horses don't fit in most trailers. You have a, you know, you have a quarter horse size trailer, and it ain't getting in there. Yeah,
I told her her former horse is a quarter horse. And so I said, honey, do you realize that you're investing, you potentially are investing in buying horse? Yeah, you're not spending that much on the horse. But you're going to have to buy new bridles, new halters, new tack, new boots.
Oh, and by the way, all of those bridles and halters and tack cost more because they're bigger.
Yep, exactly. She goes, well, maybe they'll sell the tack too. I said, okay, good luck.
That'd be fun, though. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. The other,
I want a picture of you. I want a picture of your little peanut body on top of that 18-2 horse.
Don't you worry. I'll take a picture for you because I want to keep that one on record too. And again, if it is actually 18.2 hands, you never know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could be 18.2 inches, and you'll be riding a mule.
Well, it's like those, you know, those ads that we see. Like one of the ones I'm going to give you guys to find, I found over the weekend while I was shopping, is one of the people did say that they were going to sell the tack with the horse. And they said that the tack fits any horse between the height of 14.2 and 16.3. I'm like, what? No, this tack fits any horse between 14.2 and 16.3. Wow, I would like to know what kind of tack you have, because, my God, I have two 16-1-hand horses, and by God, nothing fits. I have to wear different stuff for both of them. So that's some pretty awesome tack. If the saddle fits any horse, man, that's pretty exciting.
Well, Jennifer has gotten some really good, really bad ads in for this week, so it'll be a fun segment tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. And that's $50 gift certificate from EquestrianCollections.com for the whole universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips at a price you can afford. Yeah, my day yesterday was, you know, it started out with our show not even being on the air, and I'm supposed to be a geek, right? And then it went downhill from there. I edit all the shows on a Mac. Well, my Mac's hard drive's about to give up. So every time I try and edit and save something, the hard drive would go... And then the sound would stop, and I have to reboot. So, and I'm actually calling in through that this morning, and I have an appointment at the Genius Bar. By the way, if any of you have apples and have gone to the Genius Bar, you know that it's not always the most pleasant experience in the world. So I'm going to be doing that today. And then I decided I got to buy a backup computer because my other one, my PC where I can edit, wasn't editing yesterday. It kept crashing. So I tried to do the Eventing radio show yesterday about 16 times. I quit at 11 o'clock last night after losing it for the last time and saying, that's it, I'm just going to bed. So all of the shows will be late this week. I am just warning everybody that we're going to be a little behind. Hey, we have a caller on the line here that I want to take because there is nobody. When you have bad days like you and I did yesterday, there is nobody that's going to make you feel better than the rock star Templeton Thompson. Hey, Tempe.
Yay!
Hi. Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
We both. Did you have a good day yesterday? Somebody had to have a good day yesterday.
I had a great day yesterday. Working, and loving life. Yeah, awesome.
We hate you.
I woke up. that's like I woke up and I'm breathing. So, you know, life rocks.
Well, there is one good thing that happened to us yesterday, and that is we played your new song, Believe, and I think you noticed that because you posted a thank you on our page.
Yes, you guys are so sweet. Thank you.
I love that song, by the way. It's now become my favorite song. Now, Jamie's still stuck on Girls and Horses because I think she's a girl. But I love this song. Tell us what, you know, you wrote on there that it was inspired by Buck. Of course, we've had Buck on the show and his brother and the producer of the movie and everybody on here, Buck Brenneman. So tell us, you know, tell us where that came from.
Well, yeah, I totally was inspired by Buck. I guess the day, maybe, I guess 2 days after, the idea kind of popped into my head because I honestly said to Sam, I'm like, why have we never written a song called Believe? Based on, you know, Buck's beautiful saying, and above all else, believe. Why haven't we done that? And it's just one of those things, you know, and, you know, he talks all the time about it takes the time it takes. And obviously, we were supposed to write it right around that time frame, and that one just kind of fell out. I think that I said that to Sam, and maybe 2 days later we sat down and said, let's work on this song, and it just fell out. So, yeah, inspired by our rock star cowboy Bud Buck. I love him so much. I miss him. I hope I get to see him soon.
Well, let me for those that missed the show yesterday and we had issues with it, people could listen to it on podcast, but let me just play a little bit of Believe so people get an idea of what we're talking about.
Aww.
I hope you love with all your heart. Always finish what you start. If the road gets rough, I hope you stay the course. And that you always choose your battles well. When you need it, ask for help and fight like hell. But what's worth fighting for? Keep the sunshine on your face, the cold wind at your back. I hope you laugh until you cry and cry until you laugh.
I gotta tell you, I just love the tune. I just love the words. When you listen to this whole thing, it's just fantastic.
Oh, keep playing it.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Oh, Kimpy, well, it's a great song.
That means the world to me. Thank you.
Well, listen, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your phone number from Glenn, and when I'm having a bad day or something, I'm just going to call you, and you just talk me out of it.
Okay. Well, hey, as we all know, we all have days. I'm not saying I don't. I just, well, y'all know me. Gratitude. I'm just happy to be here. So life rocks, and my beautiful babies, and I'm late to feed, and they are being so incredibly patient. They're like, okay, Mom, whenever.
Oh, you know what? I had an acting company for 10 years, and I'm used to dealing with artists and performers and musicians. They never get up early and feed.
Well, you know, that's so not true, though, right? I think everyone thinks that artists, like, sleep in and we do nothing all day, and then we go play a show at night, and it couldn't be further from the truth, right? But that's all good. We, you know, I do sleep in sometimes. I did a little bit today. But, yeah, I'm just happy, and I'm grateful. And thanks for playing that and believing in it, pardon the pun. And I don't know if you saw on the website what I wrote, too. That's the first work tape we did. I mean, we just put that down.
It sounded like a studio product. It really did.
Oh, thanks. Well, I mean, we did it in our studio, but it was like, let's just put this down so we have it, you know. So we just threw it down pretty dang fast just so we'd have it. And I, of course, wanted to send it to the beautiful, amazing Miss Cindy Neal, and who has become a friend and the director of Buck. Obviously, you know her now, and she is such an angel of a woman and has been so supportive of our music. And I sent it to my dear bud, Patty Hall, of course, who you know all about, the rock star girl, because she is why we know all these people, and I sent it to Buck, too.
We're going to have to get, we've talked about this, and I just never got to it yet, we're going to have to get Patty Hall on with you sometime and do one of our special musical episodes. We'll definitely have to do that.
I think that would be great. That would be so great, and she would just, she's awesome.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, you're good together, too, and I think Jamie would really like that. Hey, there's somebody that it did not wake up this morning, and I wanted to mention this, Templeton, and it's perfect time now. Dan Peek, who is a name that a lot of people are going to go, who? But he was the lead singer for America, and America, this has a horse tie-in because, of course, one of the most famous one of the most famous horse songs ever. And when I listened to it again this morning, I said, oh, my God, it's Jamie's Life, A Horse with No Name. let me play just a couple seconds for people who don't know or maybe a little younger than us. Let's.
The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Tempe, check this out.
Yeah.
That's one of the first songs I ever learned how to play on guitar, and I'll tell you why. Because it is an E minor, and then drop your third finger down one string and play that. So it's like E minor, and then separate your fingers and play that. And that's the entire song. Two chords, two fingers.
You know, don't overthink it. Cool. I know. You know, I was learning a while back just because I think she's uber cool. She's a wild child, but Lady Gaga and that Born This Way song, I was kind of curious. And I think it's two chords. That's it. You know, I mean, some of the greatest songs ever written are two chords. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great, that Horse of the Moaning. I love America. Now, I'm confused. Are you saying the lead singer is no longer with? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, Dan Peek was his name, and he died at the age of 60 yesterday.
Doesn't
say how he died, but boy, you know, these old rockers just don't last very long.
That's heartbreaking.
I know. And, you know, he went into, when he left America, he was the original. America stayed together after he left. I mean, he was kind of the original lead singer there saying that. And he went on to have a great career in contemporary Christian music as a solo singer. And he won a Grammy Award in 1979 for his solo album All Things Are Possible. So he actually went into Christian music, which from America to Christian music tells you something, you know.
Isn't that interesting? Well, wish him wings, and that's just heartbreaking. And send love to his friends and family. That's just, you know, yeah, that's so young. Well, I don't know if I've ever told y'all. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but there's a wonderful thing, as we know, about social media, right, and social media network and all that good stuff and how you can get the word out about things. And then, to me, there's also, like, a shock factor sometimes for me with it because you can find out about things that maybe you weren't expecting. And one of our really good friends, I'm sure you remember the band The Stone Ponies, and what amazing music they made. And for a long time, my first publisher was Tony Brown, who produces Reba and George Strait, and is just an all-around great guy. And anyway, he signed Kenny Edwards, the bass player, and one of the founding members, you know, in the band The Stone Ponies, who went on to do amazing things in music, who's one of the most talented people on the planet, who unfortunately is no longer with us. And so Tony introduced me to Kenny, and then Kenny and Sam, too, and we used to all write together, and he'd stay with us. When we lived in East Nashville, and we just loved that man so much. And then we had sort of lost touch with him, and I had been wanting to reconnect. I knew we were going to make music again together. I just was one of the most special people, in my opinion, on the planet. And one day I was on Facebook, and I found out he's gone, and it just devastated me. That
wow.
Day, it just devastated me because he was just such a special individual. And so I guess I say that also kind of segueing, but it's a reminder, like, if you're thinking about someone, call them up, tell them you love them, you know,
well, you know,
it's been years.
It also reminds us that no matter how bad a day we had yesterday, you're right. We still woke up this morning.
Yeah, man, you're breathing air. That's a gift. So, you know, no matter what, and not to say that, you know, we all have our feelings, and if you have a bad day, you know, you're having a bad day. But you can just cowboy and cowgirl up, right, and, you know, acknowledge your feelings and then go, hey, I'm here.
Stone Ponies, weren't they Linda Ronstadt's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, great music. I just, what a voice. What voice says. I mean, see, what's amazing, because if you know Kenny's voice and then you listen to those recordings, you can't miss him. He had and still continues to, because luckily he lives on in his music. His voice is undeniable and gorgeous and an incredible songwriter. And so, you know, if you listen to any of those records now and you know his voice, I'll have to send you or point you in the direction of his independent music that he made, his albums, and then you'll really be able to go, oh, my God, I can hear the harmony. That is Kenny. And it was always such a treat to sing with him, because it was just magic. So, yeah. Yes.
Well, Templeton, before we let you go, we're kind of running out of time here. Susan Nelson asked on our Facebook page, she had a question for you. She says, ask Tempe about her show Friday Night in Dixon.
Oh, the show Friday Night in Dixon. Yeah, it's a community outreach for our county, our Dixon County's housing authority, and the beautiful people of Cross Point Church here in Dixon, Tennessee, where we live. We live in Dixon County. They've put together a band, some of the folks who've sung at church in the past and are playing and singing at church regularly, and sometimes Sammy and I have gone and sung at this church, and it's just a beautiful community. So as a way to help the Dixon Housing Authority and the folks that they help, we're all going to get together on Friday and do an hour-long set singing. Speaking of Linda Ronstadt, I get to sing a little bit of Linda Ronstadt music and just great, great songs. And the voices you'll hear, I'm just lucky to get to be on stage with these people. So that's what's going on. I think it starts at 7. So Okay. Definitely it'll get cooler by that time. We're hoping anyway. So if
you're
that helps,
doing it.
Yeah, and it's
the
free.
Amazing part about this, Tempe, is you're doing a gig that you can sleep in your own house after.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's just down the road, and it's for a great cause. And I say it's free. You know, I'm assuming it is free. I don't know the details about that because my assumption would be maybe there's some kind of a donation they're asking people to make. I don't know because obviously it's to help the Dixon Housing Authority, so they can let you know that information. But all I know is I'm grateful that I get to go do this and share the stage with great people and do a good thing, you know? Use our gifts for good, right?
Well, thank you so much, Tempe, for calling us this morning. It's always a pleasure. You made our day. You brightened our day up today.
Thank you. Well, y'all did the same. And forgive me again, but I got to say it. Thanks for believing in me. It really does mean a lot. I really appreciate it. Really, really does. I love
it's
you guys.
Not,
have a blessed
it's not hard
day.
To believe it. It's not hard to believe in somebody has the talent you do. That's not a difficult
thing. Oh, thank you. If I could get myself through the phone, I'd squeeze you both so tight, give you a big old honking hug. So consider yourselves. Hug your beautiful wife for me. Hug your herds. And I'm going to wish your puppy dog, Miss Jamie, quick, speedy healing. Bless his little heart.
Oh,
he'll be fine.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Love you, girl.
You're welcome. Love you, too. You guys have a great day, okay?
Bye, Tim.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, she cheers you up. It just
I know.
Whenever we have a bad day, book her the next day. Just do it. It's just like you're right. We're breathing. Let's take it just a second here to go. Okay, she's right. We're breathing. Everything's good. Yes, we're gonna have some challenges ahead throughout the day, but let's just keep our chins up, Glenn, and let's move on and be happy. And I would like to thank our sponsors because now I'm thankful we have sponsors at horseshow.com. You can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. This is so cool, you guys. Horseshow.com. You get judged by the top judges in the country, in the world, and then they give you their comments. So you only don't just get judged. They actually submit comments to you about what they thought. Just upload your home video and enter a class at horseshow.com online, and it's a simple and economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or track your progress during the off season. And I know that we have a listener, Rhonda, who is going to a dressage show this weekend in Toronto. So this would be actually fantastic for her to hop on and submit her test, and then get judged and get her comments and then find out what she probably should work on for the actual competition. So check that out. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines judged by nationally accredited judges. Upload, enter, and win. Hey, you win money too, by the way. Cash. Anytime at horseshow.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Jamie, and thank you to Horseshow.com for contributing to Thursday's Horses in the Morning. Well, today we have the Love Doctor back with us. I think we've rousted her out of bed. We hope that she's had her first cup of coffee. And we're going to talk about something that I find very interesting today, and that's the girls who just can't say no. Good morning, Dr. Jen.
Good morning, happy horse people. I am not caffeinated.
Oh, geez. Can we call you back in 10 minutes, please?
That's a very good idea. You guys always get me out of bed.
an uncaffeinated psychiatrist. That's just what we need this morning.
Yep, I know, huh?
All right, so I have to tell you that we know a few of these horse girls, and what we're talking about is that horse girl that just can't say no, and what we, you know, whether it's to horses, inappropriate horses, guys, inappropriate guys, dogs, cats, you know, there might be a co-host on here that has a little bit of this, just maybe a little bit of this.
Jennifer?
So, yeah, that's right.
I have inappropriate cats. I say yes, inappropriate cats. That's my biggest problem.
Are you a crazy cat lady?
My husband believes so, yes. It hasn't been confirmed.
So talk to us about this. Why are there people, and I do want to, why do those people exist? And then the second question is, does it run through their whole lives? If they're the kind that want to adopt every forlorn horse out there, whether, you know, it's going to break the bank, are they the same ones that then go after the wrong guys or just say yes to every guy? You know, that are they that same person?
Yeah, well, this is such a great topic, Glenn, so thanks for bringing it up. What we learn in the field of equine-assisted coaching is that what you do in one area of your life, you tend to do in all areas of your life. So, yeah, I love the idea that, you know, the crazy cat lady also is the one with the crazy boyfriend. You know? And it's a really good question. Why do people have trouble saying no and then get themselves overbooked or overcatted or with inappropriate horses? And so I was going to ask you, Glenn, you said you knew a few people, present company excluded, of course.
Of course.
What have you noticed about these ladies?
Well, they just tend, they're the saving type. They want to save everybody
yes.
and everything. That's the, and,
yes.
and I maybe that's it. Maybe they're the just the ones that they, and, but the thing is, they truly believe they can save them. It isn't made up. It's in their mind that they can save them.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you think about that, they want to save the whole world, and they're caretakers, right? And there's some part of their identity or their self-worth that comes from this belief that they can save the world or that they can save him. And that it's particularly dangerous when we're talking about attracting men that way versus attracting horses. But it all starts from something that happened in their childhood and something that happened in their family that made them take on the role of the savior. Isn't that fascinating?
Now, does that mean they had a troubled childhood? Were they having parental issues? Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it all depends, but oftentimes, somehow, as a child, if you end up being one of these caretakers or the ones who feel like they can fix it or save the world, it often comes from that's where their worth came from in their family. So, you know, it might not have been troubled. It could just be that you had this fantastic experience of finding a wounded bird one day, you know, and you brought it home, and it felt really good to take care of this little being, and it brought you a sense of worth. But it might also been that you were trying to, you know, fix your parents' marriage and save, you know, the family. And in that case, you know, that sort of experience tends to lead to problems down the road where you're attracting men that you need to save or horses that you can save. So it can come from a variety of places, but it's usually, if you usually look back far enough, you can find a reason for where this came from. And it's cool.
Well,
you know, my husband's a caretaker, and it's cool if it works for you. But we want to talk about the times when it doesn't work for you anymore. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, you know, I think there's definitely the caretaker, I need to save it. But I think that a lot of people, especially in their male-female relationships, go, I need to save it, and then I need to change it and fix it. And then, you know, I think that those two things, changing, saving and changing, kind of go hand in hand, and changing could be fixing at the same time, where you go, I'm going to take this wounded bird, and then I'm going to save it, and then I'm going to fix it. Or I'm going to take that poor guy that, you know, has all those problems, and I'm going to bring him in, and then I'm going to save him, and then I'm going to fix him. And I'm not sure if that, does that ever work?
You know, that's a really good question. And as you guys know, you call me the love doctor in part because I also am a dating coach. And I hear from so many women
that they're such caretakers that they bring on these men, and then they give them that need to be changed, and they give them way too much time of their lives just trying to say yes to them, trying to be the pleasant one, not trying to change them too much actually, but just hoping that they'll change. And because in our culture, you know, women are sort of expected to be pleasant and put on a smile and try to just accept the situation. And so I think women, and men too, but women often fall into the trap of just trying to see the positive in the man. And so they stay around for like years trying to focus on the positive when the reality is it's really not so much fun. I mean, have you guys gotten to that situation with the horse? Where, you know,
yeah.
You're trying to focus on
well,
the positive.
Or what happens is, especially with the horses, well, with the guys too, but more with the horses, with the horse women, is it ends up costing them a frickin' fortune. Because
yeah.
That horse is broken. It usually has health problems. And the vet bills just go through the roof. And those same women or girls, in most of the cases we've seen, are the ones who can't afford it.
Yes.
Glenn, what you're missing here is it's an investment, okay? We're investing our money and our heart. I mean, not we, because I personally am not one of these people. But we're investing. Yeah, exactly. You're investing your time and your money because you're going to make something better, and then it's going to be better, and you'll get a return on your investment, be it you sell the horse, you find the horse a great home, you invest your money and time into the man, and you reap the benefits of a great relationship. And I'm telling you, it always works out every single time, I swear. I'm lying.
I don't know, man. It hasn't worked out for me.
I know.
I found myself in that situation with several horses and several men where you're throwing good money after bad or good energy after bad. And you really, if you find yourself in that situation, it's usually because of an attachment problem. It's like you feel like if you give up, you're not worthy, or you're somehow a failure. And it really, you know, if you find yourself in those situations, it's really time to ask, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? What am I really accomplishing here? And am I really having any fun? Like you said, if I've spent thousands of dollars on this horse and he's still not sound, and my goal is to ride, maybe your goal isn't to ride, but if your goal is to ride, then is it worth it? Is it fun? And if you find yourself getting irritable, or you're finding that your needs aren't met, or you can't pay your other bills, then it really may be time to really look at a decision.
Yeah, but they do. You know, what I've seen is that they do finally decide that this horse isn't worth it, or whatever that situation is. They put them down, they sell them, they give them away, whatever that is. But then they go do it again. So my question to you is, can a person like this change?
Yes. I am a perfect example. I had man after man like this and horse after horse like this, and now I no longer take horses that are going to be a problem, and I am happily married. So you can change, but you have to recognize the problem, and then you have to know what the underlying issue is, and then you have to be committed to making a new choice. And
that's hard, though, isn't it? That's hard.
It's very hard. You know, I can't tell you how many horses I've gone to see in the last year where there was that inclination to take it, but you knew there was going to be a problem. And so once you find the strength to know what's important to you, what's most important to you, which is your happiness, it should be your happiness, then you can start to make healthier choices. But it's not easy because humans develop patterns from an early age, and then those patterns tend to run our lives until we start to run, you know, our own lives by making conscious choices about what is best for us in the moment. But yeah, the making that investment after, especially if you put so much investment in it, right? It's hard to walk away from that. We become attached to the situation, and it's hard to walk away. But when we're causing ourselves more pain than pleasure, if that sounds familiar to anybody, then that's when we really need a wake up call. And usually our husbands are right there to help us smack our head up against the wall and say, look what you're doing here.
So what do what does this person do? Let's just hypothetically say it's Jamie is this person, And just hypothetically, we'll say Jamie's a person like this. What would Jamie do if she realizes she's starting to have the problem now? What are some steps you can take to make sure that you don't fall into that trap again? By the way, Jamie has a terrific husband, a good family, and we're just kind of picking on her here.
That's okay.
Oh, sure.
I can take
sure,
it.
Of course. I think the best question to ask when you're about ready to make that decision to start going down that road again is, how am I going to feel? Is this going to uplift me, or is this going to cause more negative emotions in my life? And so it's really front and center should be your needs. Are your needs really going to be met with making this decision, or is somebody else's needs going to be put first? And sometimes it's okay for other people's needs to be put first, but if you do that often enough, what happens?
Yeah, your needs are never met.
Your needs are never met. You get burned out, and then you become sort of the resentful martyr. And, you know, that's not useful for your horses. That's not useful for your relationships. It's not useful for you. And so it's really about what truly, truly makes you happy. And if caretaking truly makes you happy, and if trying to fix animals truly makes you happy, you know, then you may only be driving your husband crazy, and that might be okay.
Or go to work for a rehabilitation place and leave him there when you come home.
Yes, you know, and it really does become about finding creative solutions when we're talking about the animals. You know, it's like people stay in bad relationships. They stay with horses and men and cats. I've got a couple cats in this category right now because they can't find a solution, right? It's like they think they're stuck. And so, you know, sometimes you really have to think out of the box to find a solution, to find a way out that's going to work for everybody.
All right, Jennifer, we have to get rid of the beast. That's it.
Has to go.
Well, this has been very fascinating. Jamie, do you need anything else from her, Jamie?
I don't need anything, but I got a couple puppies for you, actually.
I'll trade you a couple of cats with problems if you'll give me a couple of puppies.
7-month-old herding dogs, brother and sister, they're yours.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of activity.
Well, and
they come
with the currently overdue vet bills.
Right, in the box. Exactly. I wanted to let you guys know about a special event we're doing here August 13th and 14th. It's called the Heart of the Horse Festival. And if people are interested in the healing power of horses, we have created an exciting lineup of 14 different facilitators who are going to be leading exciting interactive adventures with horses for personal growth. And it's happening over the full moon of August 13th and 14th. And we even have a special full moon event on Saturday evening with the herd, which is very, very cool. And so if people are in Colorado and they're interested in personal growth with horses, then check out heartofhorse.com.
Heartofhorse.com. That's terrific. Yeah, we'll post a link to that on our Facebook page, too. That sounds like fun. And, of course, where you live in Colorado is absolutely beautiful. What a great time of year to be there, too.
Let me tell you, we just took a road trip to Minnesota, and I was talking to your wife about your 120-degree heat index. And when we came, our road trip was filled with that. When we came back, we said, thank God we live in Colorado. And
Jamie,
the horses, too, right? I don't know how the rest of the world handles all that humidity.
Jamie's saying the same things. It's probably going to have to get up to about 118 there today. So.
Oh, wow.
Glenn, hello. We are in a cooling streak right now. It's only 105 today. Thank you very much.
Woo! You can get out and ride all day today, Jamie.
Woo! And sunny, no shade in the desert. Love it.
Beautiful. Very nice. It takes some getting used to, doesn't it?
No, it's horrible. You can't get used to it. God forbid. It's awful.
Thank you, Dr. Jen. We really appreciate you joining us. It's very fascinating stuff.
It's always a pleasure. You guys have a great week.
All right. That's the Love Doctor. We posted links to her website and everything on our Facebook page. You can find it there. And we'll also put it in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. Today's song is sponsored by FeedXL. FeedXL is the place where you go to find out if you are feeding your horses correctly in the right amounts. This is not a good website to go if you are like Frankie and I, and we tend to want to overfeed our animals. By the way, Jennifer may have caught me yesterday red-handed trying to give the last piece of ham that I couldn't keep because it was to the dog. I was just going to give it to the dog. Like, I had to throw it away then because I wasn't allowed to give it to the dog. And then the dog was upset. And see what that lack of feeding does. So if you want to find out if you're feeding correctly your horses, you want to go to feedxl.com. It only takes a couple minutes. Just put in some information about your horses. Put in some information about exactly what you feed them, from hay to grain to supplements, everything that goes in your horse's mouth. It'll analyze all the ingredients of everything that you feed your horse, and it'll spit out some detailed reports on where your horse is lacking as far as vitamins and minerals, or whether you're feeding too much or too little, and it'll help you make that adjustment. You can save money with FeedXL just by using it regularly to make sure that your horse is being fed correctly. That's FeedXL.com. I needed a song. We both needed a song today that was going to lift us up. So it's a little rock and roll with Trish Lynn.
It's time to rodeo. This ain't no Broadway show. Hold on and don't let go. It's time to ride. This ain't no screw your game. Need courage to take the pain. 8 seconds to make your name. Ride. Show 'em what you're made of. Show 'em what you got inside. Got inside. What are you afraid of?
TrishLynn.com to find out, find some more of her music. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Today, it's all horses because it's brought to you by Horseshow.com. Horseshow.com, thank you so much. Everybody check out that website. You can actually compete your horse online. It's an awesome idea. So check that out. And it is time, Glenn. This time of the week, we usually talk to Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse, but we have Megan. Intern Megan, as we like to call her, Intern Megan from the Chronicle, who now has a full-time job with the Chronicle, so she's not actually an intern anymore. And I believe we're going to talk about the USEF shortlist. So good morning, Megan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
We're
hey,
doing
Megan,
fantastic.
You know what's going to happen is you're going to be 45 years old. You're going to be making 100 grand a year more than us, and we're still going to be calling you Intern Megan.
That's okay. You know, I like that. It's got a ring to it, Megan the Intern. It's quite catchy. Maybe when I write when I write my book, maybe that's the name I'll use instead of my full name.
Everybody needs a nickname, so I think it's a good one. It's perfect. But let's go ahead and talk about the USEF shortlist, because for those people who don't know, what on earth is the USEF shortlist?
The USEF shortlist is those who have qualified thus far to ride at the Pan Am Games. But it's a short list, which obviously if you take a look at it is not that short of a list. And so the thing they do to weed that out is then they have a mandatory outing, which this year is going to be at Richland Park. And so there are only going to be, you know, 15 riders, to the Olympic Committee, and then those horses, I think the top five, it's a team of five that goes down, a four or five. There's four and usually an alternate, and they'll represent the states at the Pan Am. So, I mean, you can look at the list, and there are a lot of certainly very familiar names. You've got Will Coleman on there. Will Coleman was just over in London to observe the Olympic event. And Boyd's on there. Michael Pollard was also over in London. He's on there. And some local people here, Alex Slusher and whatnot. And, you know, basically you've got these, you know, it's obviously the thing about the Pan Am Games is that it's not at the level of the Olympics. So you're not riding, it's on a four-star level. So they've got, you see these names, but you maybe don't see horses that you're completely, you know, familiar with. It's not like Boyd would be riding his, you know, top horses. These are horses they're bringing up. So it should be interesting.
So is this eventing only? Because I'm recognizing a lot of the eventing names, but in the Pan Am Games.
Yeah, this is just for the eventing. This is just for the event team, because they will name a shortlist for the show jumping team and for the dressage team as well. And the dressage team will be like the small tour horses. You know, they ride at the intermediaire or the Prix Saint-Georges level. So they don't do Grand Prix. So you'll have horses maybe like Stephen Peters and but not Roval, but his horse, now that I'm blanking on the name, it's something magic. This horse that he's having a lot. Stephen Peters, like, and the people that, you know, will come and they'll bring their horses that they're not riding in the Grand Prix with, because they've decided to make them small tour horses.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah, so these might, you know, these aren't the four-star horses.
I see Hannah Sue Burnett, and obviously St. Bart's is her four-star horse, and she's riding Harbor Pilot, which I thought was the horse she won the preliminary this year on, the championships.
Right. It's at that level. It's like at a one-star, two-star level. So it's not
okay
up there. Yeah, it's definitely not. Though, I mean, it certainly is a huge honor to be selected to represent your country at the Pan Am Games. But it's kind of a cool opportunity in a way, because it gives, you know, those horses that aren't at the top yet but are, you know, kind of coming up as superstars, you know, in the making, the chance to represent their country, you know, nationally. So, even I think so much about some horses are so fantastic, but maybe they might, you know, maybe they even lack like just a little bit in the dressage to be a four-star horse or something to place at the top, but they're super, you know, horse for the Pan Ams. And so, you know, all the power to them to be able to get out there.
Now,
yeah, I think it's great to
see
a lot of these. Sorry. Go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to say Richland Park, as you said, is going to be the qualifier event for that. And that's at the end of August. And actually Richland Park is in Michigan, if I remember right.
Yeah, Kalamazoo.
And it's usually a two or three star event. And, of course, the Pan Am Games will be held October 20th through the 23rd. And that's in Guadalajara, Mexico, which the way they're shooting people on a regular basis down there right now, I don't know if that would make me real comfortable. I think I'd be trying not to qualify for the Pan Am Games. Just my opinion.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that maybe that adds to the excitement to be down there, you know.
Oh, would you have to duck on cross country because of the gunshots with the drug lords taking pot shots at cross country riders?
Whoa.
You know what's funny?
Everybody likes something different.
Is the reason I'm not going to the Pan Ams, I'm sure that's the only reason, is that the American military, like Chad, is not allowed to go to Mexico. So I personally am not trying for the Pan Ams because it wouldn't be any fun without my husband there.
No,
the military's not allowed to just vacation down there. So I'm sacrificing for the family. I'm sure that's the reason that I didn't get put on the list.
All right, so that's great. And, you know, something else that we haven't talked about, but I'm sure you have people covering, and we really haven't talked about at all here in the morning show, is that we have the Young Rider Championships now going on at the Kentucky Horse Park about 4 miles from my house.
Yes, that's what's going on. That is where Lisa is, actually. That's why I'm taking over for her. She and one of our current interns, Caroline, are down there covering, and they are – yesterday was the first day, and the dressage, Region 5 won the dressage. Region 5 is appears to be quite stacked. I was looking at even with dressage and with show jumping and stuff like that.
Now, which is Region 5? What's Region 5?
I'm trying to figure out myself exactly where Region 5 is based, but it sometimes is different. So I don't know. I'm sorry. That's something I should have known, but I can't keep up with all the regions and all the states. I've got so much else to do. But yeah, the Region 5 team. I think they won last year as well for the dressage. So I just think about, I never did Young Riders myself, but it's so exciting. And I've certainly been out to the park when it's going on because there's always so much other stuff. There's just so much going on. But it's really exciting. And, you know, it's a big deal, and they get, you know, gold medals. And the one of the girls was part of the 2010 gold medal winning Young Rider team. So, and I just think, you know, that it's going to – they've got the event. They've got a lot going on, actually. We're covering the dressage, the eventing, and the show jumping, obviously. But, you know, they're also doing reining and endurance this year, which is – I think the addition of the endurance was something as a championship was something that was new this year. And so they said that just from the U.S. are, like – over about 175 riders. So, and then you've got, I think you've got you've got two Colombian riders, somebody from Germany, somebody from Spain, and almost 60 riders from Canada and 10 from Mexico. So it's a big deal.
Okay. And I wanted to mention too, that our sponsor today is horseshow.com and ties into this. The Region 2 Young Riders and the Region 5 Juniors won the $5,000 from horseshow.com that we mentioned last week on the show, and that was sponsorships to help pay their way to the Young Rider Championship. So, but you know what? I cannot figure out where these regions are.
I know.
It's like a mystery.
Well, and sometimes it's confusing because the USDF regions are maybe not the same as USCF regions.
And
so,
the United States eventing, they don't even call them regions, they call them areas. And I'm looking at Area 5, and it's like Arkansas. I'm like, there is no way that Arkansas's area is leading the whole thing. So
I looked at zone, well, the young, the zone 4 for young riders and for junior riders for show jumping looks to be pretty good, because I know I've followed a lot of these riders' careers. So I think that maybe that's around Atlanta and Georgia down there somewhere, because I know that the Land Sisters, they're based in Atlanta, so that would probably be down around the, you know, the Georgia-Florida area might be where Zone 4 is for the show jumping.
Well, we will have to find that out, and we will let everybody know. We'll even send you an email when we find out where the regions are, and we'll find out who is actually winning. So, intern Megan, unless you get that information ahead of time,
if I do ahead of you, then I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, so we're doing, you know, there's online coverage of young writers on our website, chronophorse.com, and lots of photo galleries, and you know, they'll be there through the weekend, so that's where you can get all your young writer fix, you know, right here. I'm looking at the gallery right now that Lisa and Caroline made. It's a very nice little gallery, and so there'll be stories and photos posted up there for that kind of stuff. And you know, after the Richland Park for the Avenging shortlist, they will submit by the 12th of September. They will submit the final team. So not too long from now.
Perfect.
And then of course
right.
We're going to the Pan Am.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely be talking to you about the Pan Am Games. That's for sure. Thank you so much. Have a great week and enjoy working at the Chronicle and getting paid. I know you're not an intern.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll
bye-bye.
See
you.
Bye, Megan.
Bye.
I cannot believe that I cannot find the regions.
I've been looking, too, and there's 1,000 articles that talk about the regions, but nobody ever says where they are. It's like you should just know. You should just know what the regions are. And now I feel like a complete idiot because we don't. So if anybody knows, please post on our Facebook page because I have no idea.
The region 9 is the Dallas Dressage Club, so it's got to be in Texas.
Okay.
I have no idea, though. That's the only one all I right. got figured out so far.
Great. All righty. Well, it is time for
Yay.
The daily reading. Do you have the book open?
Of course. I live with this book. Okay. I always have it ready.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 33, A London Cab Horse. My new master's name was Jeremiah Barker, but as everyone called him Jerry, I shall do the same. Polly, his wife, was just as good a match as a man could have. She was a plump, trim, tidy little woman with smooth, dark hair, dark eyes, and a merry little mouth. The boy was nearly 12 years old, a tall, frank, good-tempered lad, and little Dorothy, Dolly as they called her, was her mother over again at 8 years old. They were wonderfully fond of each other. I never knew such a happy, merry family before or since. Jerry had a cab of his own and 2 horses, which he drove and attended to himself. The other horse was a tall, white, rather large-boned animal called Captain. He was old now, but when he was young, he must have been splendid. He still had a proud way of holding his head and arching his neck. In fact, he was as high a bred, fine-mannered, noble old horse, every inch of him. He told me that in his early youth, he went to the Crimean War and belonged to an officer in the cavalry and used to lead the regiment. I will tell more of that hereafter. The next morning, when I was well-groomed, Polly and Dolly came in the yard to see me and make friends. Harry had been helping his father since the early morning and had stated his opinion that I should turn out a regular brick. Polly brought me a slice of apple and Dolly a piece of bread and made as much as me if I'd have been the Black Beauty of olden time. It was a great treat to be petted again and talked to in a gentle voice, and I let them see as well as I could that I wished to be friendly. Polly thought I was very handsome and a great deal too good for a cab if it was not for the broken knees. Of course, there's no way to tell us whose fault that was, said Jerry, and as long as I don't know, I shall give him the benefit of the doubt, for a firmer, neater stepper I never rode. We'll call him Jack after the old one, shall we, Polly? Do, she said, for I like to keep a good name going. Captain went out in the cab all morning, Harry came in after school to feed me and give me water, and in the afternoon, I was put into the cab. Jerry took as much pains to see if the collar and bridle fitted comfortably as if he had been John Manley all over again. When the crupper was let out a hole or two, it fitted well. There was no bearing rein, no curb, nothing but a plain ring snaffle. What a blessing that was. After driving through the side streets, we came to a large cab stand where Jerry had said good night. On one side of this wide street were high houses with wonderful shop fronts, and on the other was an old church and churchyard surrounded by iron palisades. Along these iron rails, a number of cabs were drawn up, waiting for passengers. Bits of hay were laying on the ground. Some of the men were standing together. Some were sitting on their boxes reading the newspaper. And one or two were feeding their horses with bits of hay and a drink of water. We pulled up into the rank at the back of the last cab. 2 of the 3 men came round and began to look at me and pass their remarks. Very good for a funeral, said one. Too smart looking, said another. You'll find something wrong with him one of these fine mornings, or my name isn't Jones. Well, said Jerry pleasantly, suppose I not need to find out till it finds me, huh? And if so, I'll keep up my spirits a little longer. Then came up a broad-faced man dressed in great gray coat with great gray capes, white buttons, gray hat, blue comforter loosely tied around his neck. His hair was gray, too, but he was a jolly-looking fellow, and other men made way for him. He looked me all over as if he was going to buy me. Then, straightening himself up with a grunt, he said, he's the right sort for you, Jerry. I don't care what you gave for him. He'll be worth it. Thus, my character was established on the stand. This man's name was Grant, but he was Gray Grant, or Governor Grant. He had been the longest on the stand of any of the men, and he took it upon himself to settle matters and stop disputes. He was generally a good-humored, sensible man, but if his temper was a little out, as it was sometimes when he had drunk too much, nobody liked to come too near his fist, for he could deal a heavy blow. The first week in my life as a cab horse was very trying. I had never been used to London and the noise, the hurry, and the crowds of horses, carts, and carriages that I had to sort my way through made me feel anxious and harassed. But I soon found that I could perfectly trust my driver, and I made myself easy and got used to it. Jerry was as good a driver as I had ever known, and what was better is he took much thought for the horses as he did for himself. He soon found out that I was willing to work and do my best, and he never laid the whip on me unless it was gently drawing the end of it over my back when I was to go on. But generally, I knew this quite well by the way in which he took up the reins, and I believe his whip was more frequently stuck up by his side than in his hand. In a short time, I and my master understood each other as well as horse and man can do. In the stable, too, he did all that he could for our comfort. The stalls were the old-fashioned style, too much on the slope, but he had two movable bars fixed across the back of our stalls so that at night, when we were resting, he just took off our halters and put up the bars, and thus we could turn about and stand whichever way we pleased, which is a great comfort. Jerry kept us very clean and gave us as much change of food as he could, and always plenty of it. And not only that, but he always gave us plenty of clean fresh water, which he allowed to stand by us both night and day, except, of course, when we came in warm. Some people say that a horse ought not to drink all that he likes, but I know if we're allowed to drink it when we want it, we only drink a little at a time. And it does us a great deal more good than swallowing down half a bucket full at a time because we've been left without it till we're thirsty and miserable. Some grooms will go home and have a beer and leave us for hours with our dry hay and oats and nothing to moisten them. Then, of course, we gulp down too much at once, which helps spoil our breathing and sometimes chills our stomachs. But the best thing we had here was our Sundays for rest. We worked so hard in the week that I do not think we could have kept up to it, but for that day. Besides, when we had time to enjoy each other's company, it was on these days that I learned my companion's history. And tomorrow, Chapter 34, An Old War Horse.
Taxi? Taxi?
Hello? You couldn't find the applause, could you?
Taxi? Taxi?
So Black Beauty is now a cab horse, and we're going to find out about the war horse, which is exciting because the movie's coming out this fall, War Horse. Maybe that's Captain. Maybe it's based on him. We don't know.
You know what's coming out first, don't you, is Cowboys and Aliens. It's coming out this weekend.
I was hoping you had the trailer. I know you're super excited about this movie. Maybe we should play the trailer tomorrow.
The trailer doesn't say much. It's
really?
Music.
The trailer is pretty much explosions.
Yes, explosions and music. And, you know, Daniel Craig is in that movie. And one of the things that came out yesterday about Daniel Craig is that apparently early in his movie career, he used to lie about being a horse person so he'd get the Western roles and stuff. And he used to just fake it. He said, I just got on and I rode the best I could and I just lied about it. He said, I lied on all my applications. I lied in the auditions. He just pretty much lied about being a horse person. So, see, you can fake being a horse person and make millions of dollars.
Well, what was it, Mila Kunis, who basically lied about her age to get the job on That 70s Show? She was 14, and she said she was 17, and then she got the role, and then they found out, but now she's like a super huge star. And they had already put her on it, on the show, so they couldn't do anything about it.
Well, there you go. There's our movie trivia. Jennifer and I are going to try and get to see Harry Potter here this weekend because we only ever missed one of the movies. We never read the books, but we missed one of the movies. But we saw the last one, and now we got to go see this one. And Jennifer's been watching Harry Potter nonstop. I swear Harry Potter is on the TV every minute of every day since it came out. Every minute.
Oh, my gosh. Then I should have known. I would have posted the picture that I saw on Facebook. Jennifer, you will love it. You know the flare nasal strips that you put on to open your horse's breathing?
Yeah,
it's like
all this.
They made Harry Potter flare nasal strips with little glasses on them.
They made Voldemort ones because he doesn't have a nose.
Oh my gosh! I totally need to find that picture and paste it on our Facebook page. Just Google Harry Potter flare nasal strips. Maybe you'll find it.
That's funny.
That's pretty good. Let's wrap this up. You know, I'm the boss. I can decide things. And I know you have a dog to get to the vet. I have computers to get to the vet. So why don't we just wrap the show up right now? We'll come back and we'll do Friday tomorrow, and then we'll be done for the week.
Tell me that this doesn't get you excited. Ready?
Oh, okay. Ready.
A stranger with no memory of his past stumbles into the hard desert town of Absolution. The people of Absolution don't welcome strangers, and nobody makes a move on its streets unless ordered by the iron-fisted Colonel Dullahide. But Absolution is about to experience fear that can scarcely comprehend the desolate city as it is attacked by marauders from the sky. Now the stranger they rejected is their only hope for salvation. As this gunslinger slowly starts to remember who he is and where he's been, he realizes he holds a secret that could give the town a fighting chance against the alien forces. Come on! That's going to be awesome!
That's pretty good. I tell you, we're going to do it. We're going to have to see this movie this weekend. I just got too many movies to see this weekend. We have to see them both.
I'm in.
All right. Cowboys and Aliens. What a perfect cowboy horse movie that is.
I know. Like, well, thank you guys for listening to our show today. I do have to get to the vet. Poor little Boomer and his little cut-up ear with the cartilage meat hanging out of it. Oh, gross. Ugh.
No more chow. Leave the chows alone. Chows always win.
Yeah, and I'm going to take that vet bill down to their house. Don't you think I'm not? I'm going to be like, you have to pay for this. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, we'll talk to you later, everybody. Don't forget, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And I do want to mention really quick that Chris has some very special shows if we can ever get them out this week. And what happened was, and you don't even know this, it's kind of her birthday, and she's been doing these shows for a long time now, and we have never turned the tables on her. You know how we've turned the tables on Alan and Tammy, and we interviewed them on their show at the Western? Well, we have turned the tables on Chris this week on all of her shows, and Donna Barton Brothers, the NBC reporter who does the riding at Churchill Downs and stuff, and does the reporting there with NBC for all the races.
Yeah, hold up. She interviews the winning jockey on horseback after the Kentucky Derby. She's the coolest thing ever.
And now she's interviewing Chris on the shows this week.
Oh, cool.
She is hosting the show, and Chris, I learned things about Chris, and I've known her for 3 years, that I never knew. I've learned a lot, actually. She's been around. She's done some impressive things with horses over the years. So that's this week on Chris's shows. She is the one being interviewed. We've turned the tables. So you'll be able to hear those as soon as I can fix my computers and get them out.
Go to the store.
I know. Today, that's where I'm headed. So that's it. Talk to you tomorrow. It'll be Freestyle Friday, everybody.
Spay, neuter, and geld.